This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
After some glitches, which I shall not explain because maybe the men in black are listening to the show, but we got things reestablished, and welcome to the PowerCast a week after we had Rich Hoffman talking about scientific ufology, what's going on. And one thing we had mentioned, Randall, and this will, before we bring Kurt Collins in, is we were talking about the possibility of UFOs that we see being holograms, and Rich's argument there is solidity. They can be tracked on radar and seen simultaneously. They leave trace evidence. And my response to that is Star Trek holodeck. Obviously fiction, but they're envisioning what's going to happen 300 years from now. So maybe in 300 years, we can create a hologram that has solidity. What do you think, Randall?
I think we've got everything that we need to make it look like that now in terms of technological possibility. I know I've been getting a bit of flack for this. I've been getting a bit of flack on the forum now, too, but I'm doing my best to answer some of the concerns there. I posted a video, and it's of a band that's playing, and they're holograms. They're not just holograms. They're holograms from another continent. Their image has been transmitted out over and completely across the ocean to another stage where it looks like they're playing. And not only that, they can interact with the audience through cameras and feedback. And it looks like they're standing right on the stage. Now, the argument against that so far, you know, I can respect this, is that their particular technology that they're using there uses some screens. But Kurt and I were talking a little bit before the show about this, and I really want to bring Kurt in on this as well. Let's give the military $40 billion in 40 years since they started playing with lasers to come up with laser holograms that don't need screens. And how many people out there don't think they could do it? What do you think, Kurt?
It's certainly possible, especially if they've used countermeasures like radar chaff, you know, dropping fuel and things to fool enemy radars. There's radar spoofing itself where you generate a false image. So these things can be done. That doesn't mean that all these cases can be explained that way, but I think it's in the spectrum of possible answers, and you just can't shut that down because it's not the answer you're looking for.
I think it's important also to try to extrapolate what an advanced civilization capable of interstellar travel can do. They're hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us, and maybe it's true, as some suggest, they have but one technology, which is space travel. But assuming there's a general improvement in technology, they'll figure out things that we can't even imagine, except on Star Trek, maybe.
I think that's a really good point that you brought up. Like, I was trying to get across the point that I think we could do it with our own technology if we put our minds to it, if it hasn't already been done. And Kurt, like you were saying, radar spoofing, definitely. On the forum, I put in a link to an article where the Navy has been buying up radar spoofing technology for quite some time now. And there's some really good articles. They can make it look like there's an object out there that's moving and everything. And the funny thing about the Tic Tac incident is that when the aircraft went up and tried to get aircraft locks on it, they weren't able to do so. Some of them couldn't get any locks at all. Some, it didn't appear at all. Others were intermittent. So what does that say? Another pilot said that the object looked kind of mirage-like. What does that suggest? I literally put down like 10 points for why we should seriously consider the idea that this is some sort of advanced military countermeasures secret test. I find it kind of difficult to accept this, that a group, say like the Rich Hoffman is with, the Scientific Coalition for Ufology, who are scientists would be like you're saying, they're so focused on the idea that it must be a craft that they just almost are hand waving the idea.
I think the only exception before Kurt chimes in is the trace evidence, like Ted Phillips has been doing, looking at. And of course, we have the Sicaro, New Mexico episode. So how does that explain? Sicaro may have been a test of lunar lander. We've been talking about that. But could we assume that all the trace evidence is either something natural or a test aircraft, and therefore it's divorced from the other UFOs?
Oh, no, no. When we start switching cases around, that's definitely moving the goalposts. I was talking specifically just about this Tic Tac UFO incident. And there may be some other ones. The classic ones, and Kurt, you're a bit of a UFO historian on this, so you know about trace evidence, the Cash Landrum case. I would call you a specialist in. We're not dealing with holograms in those cases.
Yeah, when you do discuss a bunch of cases together, you know, it does kind of cloud the issue. But the thing you were talking about holograms and things like that, just let's consider that some cases could be from things like the military exercises. They certainly have some of these capabilities. And just think the effect of a magician on an audience where you're creating motion and multiple objects where they're really not there. It's based on the audience's expectation. And, you know, so some UFO cases, and especially the mistaken identity cases, rely on this sort of thing. You know, sometimes we're pretty bad witnesses. We jump to conclusions. This can be exploited on an enemy if you wanted to. I mean, and that's part of what the radar spoofing is about. And, you know, if you've seen an aircraft and there's a radar signal, you know, maybe it's the same thing, maybe it's not. And, you know, the military has exploited the UFO reports in the past, at least in a passive way, where if a secret military plane was seen, they don't claim credit for it. They just, you know, must be a UFO, and they, you know, they just hold silent on it. So they're glad for that to be a mistake, particularly in cases where they're sending a spy plane across another nation's border. They don't want to create an international incident, so they'd much rather that be blamed on a UFO.
Now, you sent us something here by email, which I think is very important because we look at what's happening now, the Tic Tac UFO, the Pentagon UFO project, all painted as something that was never done before. The government never investigated UFOs before. Suddenly they became interested at the urgings of Harry Reid back in the early 2000s, and they forget the past and what happened with the old ufology. I mean, even 22 million. And, you know, it buys 10 toilet seats.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Kurt and I, and yourself, Gene, I mean, we came into ufology looking at what was going on in the Golden Age, so to speak. So we know about it. Why doesn't the rest of the world know about it? I mean, when we can look up this information, go to the documents that have been released from the Air Force, they were the ones who really started investigating it. In the early days, they came up with all sorts of reporting methods, and they're the ones that invented the term UFO. So, you know, I'm kind of curious, too. Why did they just want to set that all that aside? Why do you think, Kurt?
We have about 40 seconds before the break. Go ahead, Kurt, then we'll pick up. Go ahead.
There's a lot of history, and we're seeing some similar things too. There's some military cases, and we don't have transparency on them. But you know, without looking at the past, you know, we can't evaluate what's going on now.
Well, it's a matter also of those who ignore past history are doomed to repeat it, and all those cliches. Okay, we have Curtis Collins joining us, and of course he is, I don't know, I guess one of the best specialists in looking at the past of ufology, relating it to the current situation. With Gene and Randall, you're in
The Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full-body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, I opened up or closed up the previous segment with my comment, those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. So, Kurt Collins, does that mean that if we assume they're putting aside what happened that they're going to screw things up again. Now, remember also, UFO or UFO is gone by the wayside. The new term is UAP.
Well, it's not so new, though. You look at some of the old military documentation, and they were using a similar phrase, unidentified aerial object or phenomenon. So this is not so new. And I think that just... I think there could be better terminology, but anything you use, you're going to have to say, you know, UFO, and you're still going to have to bring that term in the conversation. But I will say one thing that's confusing about it. If you look at the Navy releases, they're using the term UAP interchangeably with a drone of unknown origin. That's not what we're really talking about. You know, I guess a drone can be something of an unidentified flying object, but it's not the ones that really matter.
Well, definitely, because I mean, when we go back to the original USAF definition for UFO, unidentified aircraft were to be excluded from the set that they were looking to investigate for UFOs. Even if you didn't know what it was, if you could tell it was some kind of an aircraft, a helicopter, an airplane, something you'd never seen before, but just an aircraft, that was not considered to be a UFO.
It's an area of military concern, but not what Project Blue Book was set up for.
Definitely not. And they excluded virtually every known natural and man-made object, including aircraft, even things that could be maybe mistaken to have been aircraft. They said, okay, well, we're just going to reject those reports. So the real mysterious ones are only ones that are something extraordinary or out of this world. Only they couldn't say that. They couldn't say, look, we're investigating alien craft. They needed to keep that sort of hush-hush. But when you look at all of the exceptions, they don't leave room for anything else.
Currently, I guess the impression that's being created to some people is that a UAP, what they're talking about is to be sure something is not impacting our national security, which implies something altogether different than some kind of alien craft. They're still looking at maybe it's a foreign invader, maybe the Russians are sending drones to us or something.
Exactly. And I think, Kurt, you'd probably agree that this is a military angle. They're looking for, okay, do we need funding to be able to better detect things like drones or foreign aircraft or things that are not necessarily of alien origin? If they're looking at real world military, they're going to have a reason to get money.
That's true. Oh, boy. I was looking at an old newspaper story back in 1947 in July. Orville Wright, who should need no introduction, one of the two brothers that flew, you know, gets credit for flying the first airplane. Well, you know, so he's this was a year before his death when the flying saucer phenomena hit. And he thought it was warmongering propaganda. You know, it was something to promote war, to keep the military budget good. And he discussed where he had talked with a British comrade who was in the military. I forget his rank. But he was kidding him about how some of the reports of airships and aircraft during World War I were spurious, and that they were basically created for a similar purpose. Now, I think he might have gone overboard with that, you know, but his thought was this was all created to perpetuate the military effort. And this current portrayal of UFOs, the threat element has really been oversold by a certain television show and a certain entertainment company, and certainly it gets attention. You know, if there is something there, it needs to be paid attention to for a lot of reasons. The threat, the possibility of a threat is there, but I think it's rather low. I think the scientific curiosity should be the chief reason it's pursued.
The thing I wonder here, though, Kurt, looking at all this stuff, relating it to the past and everything, and the new enthusiasm about UFOs, is anything going to change?
Well, let's hope that some technology brings some answers. And even if, you know, and it's so disappointing that in the case of these videos that we have, that these the objects are so far away and indistinct that we can't tell anything from these videos that have been, you know, touted as evidence. But the military has the best potential with the range of technology available in the multiple types of sensors and everything. But they're also the least likely to share it. So that's always going to be a problem. I mean, the military is secretive about everything, not just the UFO topic. So it's very difficult to get anything out of them. And some of these independent efforts, though, there are people that are launching satellites and monitoring the skies and cameras and things like that. So, you know, some of that should produce some material to work with. But, you know, I'm convinced that there's always going to be, if there was a UFO crash retrieval and we got everything from it and could trace it back to the planet of origin, you know, the most extreme situation, that wouldn't solve every other UFO report. There's going to still be some mysteries out there. There may be even multiple causes. I know you've had Colonel John Alexander on the show before, and he says, well, when you talk about UFOs, what kind? Because there's all sorts of things, from, you know, phantom lights to, you know, the things that basically are unidentified aircraft, to these things that just behave in a phenomenal way, you know, outflyer aircraft. You know, they're reported by serious people. So, but yeah, so I think we may solve some more. We may get some solid data, but we're never going to have all the answers.
I wonder also, by all this publicity mentioning the Navy, you create a black hole into which to toss UFO or UAP evidence, so that way nothing will come out except photos that are too blurry to recognize, and that diverts one's attention from what's really going on. Of course, that may be something that's happened all along in the UFO field, where conventional craft, test craft, false sightings, maybe not just by Jim Moseley and Gray Barker, but by others, to divert our attention in such a way that the UFOs could be doing their thing. The government can be investigating whatever that is, but they do enough to keep the public satisfied, to mollify the public, so they won't bother them. Just like we have all these revelations about exoplanets. Well, okay, we can now say in 10, 20 years we'll confirm that ET can come here because they exist, and how does that relate anyway to whether they are here now? Kurt Collins, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Washington State has reported the first U.S. coronavirus fatality.
The person who died was a patient at Evergreen Hospital who had underlying health conditions. It was a male in his 50s.
Dr. Jeff Duchin is the public health officer for King County in Seattle. Two other cases are linked to a long-term care facility.
One is a healthcare worker from Life Care. She's a woman in her 40s. She's in satisfactory condition at Overlake Hospital, and she has no known travel outside of the U.S. The second case is a woman in her 70s, a resident at Life Care, the long-term care facility, and is in serious condition at Evergreen Hospital.
Several people associated with that facility now also have serious symptoms. In a White House news conference, President Trump said they're doing everything they can to stop the spread of the virus. This is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
This is me, the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
So what do you think, Kurt Collins? Misdirection, all this new stuff?
Well, even if it's not intended to be, some of it is, because now the UFO sightings that have surfaced, the Navy ones, the 2004 cases, the more recent ones, 2014 or 15, those are pretty interesting. But for the most part, they've been packaged by the people who announced them, which was the To the Stars Academy. And a lot of people have you know, it's like, well, any store can sell cornflakes, but it's like associating cornflakes with that particular store. And you know, it needs to be evaluated separately. And then, of course, the UFO program, which is ATIP, which has been associated with this. And so there's been a lot of drama about, well, what was ATIP? Who knew what? How big was it? Were they really a UFO program? That's a distraction in a way, because those are getting us, you know, we're interested in details. We're getting more information, but not so much about UFOs. It's about the policy procedures, the way the government handles it and investigates it. So a distraction in that sense.
I like what you had to say about John Alexander there, too. And, of course, he was a specialist in the military for PSYOPs operations, and he describes how misdirection and myth has been used by the military in real operational situations. So it's not too far-fetched to think that, well, okay, we've got the ability to be able to create this illusion. It could serve us very well on the battlefield. I mean, if you can imagine you're sending a fighter group into hostile territory and the enemy sees you coming, and then all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of other fake stuff they'd have to contend with, that could really confuse them a lot. It would be really, really effective. And if it was good, it wouldn't be the kind of thing that they'd want to advertise out in the open, you know?
John Alexander, his specialty was in non-lethal weapons, and some of those were some pretty weird things that, you know, some people want to jump to mind control, but there were things that were, you know, intended to cause pain from a distance, mental confusion, and things like that. And, you know, if you had basically a magician producing a show and then you had these sensations together with it, I mean, that would totally disorient an enemy. And if they were in a plane or, you know, tank, you know, even more so.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it can think of it this way, this was a training exercise, the perfect time to test something like this out. If it can disorient your own people with some of the best equipment on the planet, what's it going to do for the enemy? Right.
Well, that is interesting. And some of the, if reading the transcripts of the Nimitz, the statements from the witnesses, they even speculated, is this a blue on blue, you know, exercise where, you know, so there was some suspicion at the time that this might be the case. And as you say, this was an exercise and it was known that the planes were unarmed. So there wasn't a chance of that. So, but it with the capable personnel involved, the millions of dollars of equipment, you do have to question the wisdom of the command to put these people, you know, why aren't they doing this in a simulator? I mean, they have to be really confident that nothing's going to go wrong to do this. I mean, this wasn't, remember, these exercises were not, you know, in aviation terms, we're not that far from off the coast. So, you know, if something had horribly gone wrong, they could have come back ashore and, you know, crashed, possibly injured civilians. So I don't know. We have to consider these possibilities, but I don't think that it's extremely likely.
Well, you have to remember, too, our government, I don't think any government is capable of contingency planning. It's always going to be after the fact. If something happens, they may go into this with various motives. Maybe also, like James Carrion suggested with the ghost lights back in World War II and the Roswell incident, it's a deception designed to spook the Russians. And now, of course, we ought to be concerned more about the Russians because we have all these issues with regard to election interference. And if they're interfering with elections and they want to mess us all up, what else could they be doing?
Did have you talked about the recent article by Tim McMillan on ATIP? He was... He came out with some documents, you know. So have you discussed that?
No, do tell. Let's chat about that because there's only so much homework you can do. There's so much out there. So this is why we love having you on, is to just bring up this stuff that we haven't necessarily heard before.
Okay. Well, his article was inside the Pentagon secret UFO program. And, you know, the article was it was a pretty long article, and it had some kind of spy type stuff and melodrama with him talking to anonymous sources and things like that. But some serious things did come out of this. One of them was, he was able to see and photograph bits of the Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Space Studies, BAS. They were the contractor for the ATIP program. Well, it was OSAP at that time. And one of the things they did was they contracted these 38 reports. And they also, and this is something we hadn't heard about before, or specifics on it, there was a 494-page hardback report from Bigelow's company, and had apparently it was, you know, pictures, graphs, you know, information on their UFO studies. There was a section on Skinwalker Ranch, you know, and those are, you know, we don't know much more specific about it than that. So the one of the arguments going back and forth is, was ATIP a UFO program, or was the UFO part, you know, the theoretical? And this only proves that Bigelow produced UFO material, not that that's what he was asked to do. But nevertheless, you know, here's some UFO material at last that's come out of this. And the other thing was those reports I mentioned. McMillan got a PDF copy of one that had not previously been released. A longtime UFO buffs will recognize the name Dr. Christopher Kit Green. You know, he's been associated.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So he's been associated with the, you know, the so-called aviary and, you know, medical programs. He was involved. One of the things people may have heard about when, now I'm going to blank on his name, but the guy from, the Bentwaters case,
Benowitz?
No,
Bentwaters. You're talking about, of course, that one.
Okay.
There are several people that we've had. John Burroughs?
Well, I feel dumb for Burroughs or Penison, whichever one had the medical condition recently.
Well, Burroughs had the one where he was fighting to get the government to pay for his condition. And this several shows on. We even had a lawyer on. We had Nick Pope on. So we covered this extensively. In fact, one of the times we had Burroughs on the Paracast, he was basically in our studio or in my home office right next to me doing the show. And we got a chance to see him in action, talk to him, and whatever we think about Bentwaters, whatever we think about that case, I can say this guy seems sincere. He seemed honest. And I think that's more than sufficient for me to say that something happened to him. I don't know. But I also thought about test aircraft for that, too. Some kind of nuclear propulsion like Cash Landrum could have been something of that nature. We've got a lot more to come. And we're looking at a gentleman here who knows how to follow UFO history and its meaning, Kurt Collins. I'm Gene. He's Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Mortgage rates have dropped 25%, the lowest mortgage rates in years. So maybe you should drop everything and call Zoom Refi. Refinance your home now and slash your mortgage payments. Take cash out and save maybe hundreds of dollars every month. Zoom Refi mortgage rates are super low. Zoom Refi closing costs are super low. And Zoom, we approve you right over the phone, even for no income check loans. Big drop in mortgage rates. Big opportunity for you to save money. Call Zoom Refi today. 888-291-9729. 888-291-9729. Save on mortgage payments. Save on closing costs. Call Zoom Refi. 888-291-9729. Advertising by marketing entity Zoom Refi. Zoom Refi is not a bank or financial company. Calls and other inquiries may be forwarded to third-party lenders who are solely responsible for reviewing, approving, and servicing any loan. Zoom Refi is not affiliated with any state or federal agency and does not provide mortgage advice or help. No income check loans are for investment properties only, and income must be sufficient to service debt.
I'm here with Scott Yuseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, did I illuminate anybody by what I was talking about, Bent Waters?
You did, because it was Burroughs, and it was in his case that Dr. Kit Green came forward on his behalf, obtained the medical records that he needed, and he's the one that obtained the clearance for his medical care. Okay, so this was not part of the ATIP program, but I just wanted to reference what Kit Green did and the fact that he's a physician. Well, he was contracted to write one of these papers for Bigelow on behalf of OSAP, and it was it has a long title here. Let's see. Clinical, medical, acute, and subacute field effects on human dermal and neurological tissues. Well, you wouldn't think from the title that was about UFOs, but it was an overview of the literature of UFO exposure, causing injuries human. So his paper was on that. It was delivered to Bigelow. Bigelow delivered it to the program that eventually became known as ATIP. So this is the only one of those 38 papers. Most of them were about war, aviation, theoretical futures, wormholes and warp drives and, physics and things. But this one particular paper, we have a copy of now, and you can say, well, this was about UFOs. So that was Tim McMillan's article in Popular Mechanics, came up with this report, the Bass report, and the study by Dr. Kit Green. So we can say at last, okay, here's some UFO stuff out of this besides these videos that we can't be sure are connected. That added some meat to it. He also had one other thing. There had been controversy because the Pentagon had recently stated that Luis Elizondo was not in charge of the ATIP program. And so that was confusing because that's the whole reason he became a UFO celebrity is because of that. So McMillan had, and again, this material was furnished to him by anonymous sources. And he also had some anonymous, it was a redacted email that he showed, and it seemed to support Elizondo's leadership role in ATIP. So that material was not something that the Pentagon was ready to address. And as a result of the article, It's interesting now that we don't have a UFO desk at the Pentagon exactly like we did way back in Project Blue Book. However, there's a particular person, Susan Gao, is the Pentagon's designated, she's actually been referred to as UAP, she handles the matter. So she's the, I don't know if she's the official, but, she in effect is the UAP spokesperson of the Pentagon. She responded to this, and she said that the Pentagon will be issuing an update to previous statements about ATIP. And so, people are waiting now for that. It's like, well, they've had some conflicting statements in the past. Since the initial news came out, they've changed spokespersons. We're on our third one now. There was one that left under a political scandal, yeah. Unrelated.
I'm with Gene. Are we ever going to know? I'm beginning to wonder. I think you're onto something there, Gene. I don't think they're ever going to really tell us what's really going on or give us the whole full story.
When it comes though to Elizondo, what his position was? Was he just the office boy or something? Was he the spokesperson? Was he the leader? And we have contradictory messages, and that's designed to do one thing, just to cause conflict. That's all. Or the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. But I think if we focus on that, we avoid the big picture. I think it stands to reason that he was associated in some capacity. Nobody's stopping him from talking about it. And let's move on.
There were a couple things that I left out that I need to go back to. Now, on that report I was telling you about, those studies, the 38 studies, those sort of became the property of the Pentagon. However, this book from Bass, Bigelow's company, had something stamped on every page of it saying that it was the property of the company. It was proprietary information. And there was a quote here from the article. The material from the report is commercial in confidence. Well, what that means to us, that is legally exempt from Freedom of Information Act requests. So, in effect, since it's a Bigelow's file on UFOs, you can't have it.
Right. But, anyone who has been into UFOs for a while knows that Bigelow has been interested in UFOs for quite some time. He was networking with MUFON for a while. He has had a UFO experience himself. He's definitely interested in them, and he believes they are real. So that's pretty interesting. And he's also really, really rich. So he can afford to do these types of studies. And it would be kind of interesting to know what more he's got. I mean, we've heard rumors of metamaterials and that sort of thing, but we still really don't know for sure what he's got.
Yeah, and it's unless he chooses to share, we never will.
Going back to the Bentwaters thing, when you guys were talking about there, not long ago in the forum, someone posted an article, and I think this has been floating around for a while, but that what was recovered or seen was actually an Apollo return module recovery exercise. And I'm not sure if you guys were aware of that, but apparently they did these exercises for recovering the Apollo return module back in the day. And it looks kind of like a little saucer. It's just basically the nose cone of the rocket that comes back. And so someone was saying that that's what it was.
That case is so, I consider it hopelessly polluted. The first person to come up and speak about it was Larry Warren, and apparently his material is so bad. Peter Robbins, the author that had covered his story and wrote his book, he's disavowed it and distanced himself from it, and he spent years representing him. So that's been a really messy story. He's apparently was a fraud and had told all these lies. Now, his story was so different from the others too, though. I mean, he was claiming direct alien contact and things that no one else was saying. So,
That's why I tend to go with sort of more the more original stories that were coming out, like back when Timothy Good was writing about it in Above Top Secret. And I mean, there's a couple of cases in there that John Ecker has pointed out are they came from someone who basically fabricated them. But the Bentwaters ones, there was a lot of radar contacts that were going on and sightings prior to that particular event that were going on as well. Just seemed to be pretty legit.
You know, I wanted to just intercept something here. We had Timothy Good on the show, and one of the things that bothers me, above publishing material that's possibly fabricated, is that he became a full believer in George Adamski's contact claims. He lost me at that. And even if he had good material in his book, that was it for me.
Well, yeah, I think there are a number of ufologists that if you dig deeply in the spectrum of things that they cover, you're going to find some clunkers. But there's a lot with him. There are a lot of he supports a lot of the contactee people. And I studied one case, and I wrote to him about this, by the way, Carol Wayne Watts in Texas. And his was really interesting because he had seen these aliens with, you know, 4 feet tall, gray-white skin, wraparound eyes. It sounded great. It was almost a perfect step between Betty and Barney Hill's the aliens that described in that story, and then the grays that we've, you know, the more popular version that came a bit later. It was almost like an evolutionary step. Well, the thing was, he was a cotton farmer in Texas. He was really trying to promote his story, sell it to Life magazine. He had pictures, and he was almost harassing Dr. J. Allen Hynek. And one of the things Hynek said, well, if you wanted to demonstrate your credibility, get a lie detector test. Well, so the guy took him up on it, and he just failed dismally. And he was exposed. And then he goes on and he says, well, yeah, this story was fake. He basically admitted it was all made up.
I'll tell you what, that is good enough because we have very few of these people ever admitting that they faked it all. We've got more with Kurt, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.